Welcome to
the Plant-Based Podcast.
In case you didn't know already, plants are amazing. You can
eat them,
wear them,
drink them,
nourish your skin with them,
grow them,
love them,
and be inspired by them. So why not join us on the Plant-Based Podcast as we speak to the movers, shakers, and growers in this amazing plant world.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Hey guys, we're doing a bit of a double-hander episode this time. So we're going to be talking about indoor-outdoor kind of small spaces. So Ellen's going to be looking at outdoor, so that's balconies, kind of very, very small spaces just outside the window. So that includes things like window boxes as well. And I'm going to be talking about indoor. So I'm going to talk about a range of plants that you can grow on a windowsill. And this will have a few surprises. I've been experimenting over the last few weeks myself. So it's really kind of trying to give people inspiration to grow whatever they can in their windows and kind of to green them up, give themselves that joy, and almost give the illusion of having a garden, but inside. So let me run you through a little few ideas that I've been running over the last few weeks. So firstly, I've bought a lot of houseplants recently. I've been in an apartment, not able to travel for about 2 months now. So rather than my usual life where I'm traveling around, haven't got time to look after plants or anything, I've had the time. So I've been ordering quite a lot. I've probably got about 30 plants in the last 4 or 5 weeks, but not all houseplants. I've kind of got some perennial plants, some herbaceous plants, which were actually sent in for a TV program that I was going to film, but I have no use for them now, so I'm actually using them on the windowsill. So when I run through the plants that I've got on the windowsill, there'll be a few surprises and a few kind of very experimental things there as well. So anyway, I'm sitting in front of my window here now in my wonderful apartment in Windsor. Really pretty window. It's like an old, I think it's an old schoolhouse. So it's got a really, really cute little shape. But of course, whatever type of window you've got, you can put beautiful plants in that window. Obviously, it helps if you've got a wide windowsill, but there are still ways. You could still put a high table in front of your window to kind of give you that windowsill effect. You could get an adult to put a screw in above the window so you could have hanging plants. I've also been wondering if you can use those little suction pads to put air plants on the window as well. So a few different ideas there. So anyway, let me run you through what I've got in my window here today. So I've got a few orchids dotted about. So I kind of get a bit bored of all these collections of foliage plants that you see on Instagram. These Instagrammers are kind of sitting amongst their forest of caladiums and anturiums. It's great, but it's kind of all foliage. I am still a big lover of flowers. So I've dotted flowers amongst my foliage plants, and I think that is what makes it look so beautiful and kind of cohesive. So as I said, I've got a couple of orchids. Now, I was really kindly sent a box of orchids by Love Orchids, which is actually the trading name of Double H Nurseries, who are down in the New Forest. They've been doing a really cool box of orchids for £20, and you get 4 orchids, well grown, ready for the windowsill. So I've had to find places for the few that they gifted me. So I've dotted them amongst my windowsill. There's a few that are still on the draining board as well. So they haven't found a house yet. So there's a couple of beautiful orchids on the windowsill. There's also polka dot plant, which is Hypostis, which I remember growing from a seed when I was a kid. My grandma had loads of them. Really fun, easy to grow, easy to root in water. Or very nice to grow from seed as well, very easy. You'll get a nice houseplant within about 3 to 4 months It also works well as an outdoor plant. So that's something that really interests me, the plants that you can use inside as well as outside, because I love that flexibility and I love pushing the boundaries as well. Next up on the windowsill, we have String of Beads, Senecio. Now, I know this plant is a bit of a hard when it comes to watering, so I'm kind of trying to keep my best eye on it, making sure it dries out between waterings. Am I doing well so far? I see a few shriveled bits, actually, so maybe not. Next up is actually a perennial, which is going to have a short lifespan on the windowsill. It's purely for fun. Haven't even got a saucer. I just made a kind of saucer out of foil from the kitchen drawer. It's a geum. Now, geum is in the rose family. When you see all the pictures on social media or on the website, you'll see what I mean. It's a beautiful little plant. It's only a few inches tall, but this is deliciously short-term. This is just a perennial I'm enjoying on the windowsill just during its flowering period. It's never going to grow on there long-term. The conditions are kind of all wrong. You know, it needs the fresh air, needs to be, you know, amongst the wildlife. But while it's in bloom, I'm going to enjoy it for a few weeks. Next up, a weeping fig. Now, I've got an awful history of weeping figs, but this one seems happy so far. I think in the past, I've tried to relegate them to bathrooms, thinking they enjoy that humidity, but they kind of don't. What a diva. Anyway, next up is a fiddle leaf fig, which is looking cute and pretty, but I think the growing point has broken out. So I'm not sure where it's going to shoot from or if it's just going to stay suspended in time forever. But anyway, it's given me some nice leaves and it's actually bonsaied itself. So there you go. Next up is a plant that's performing really, really well. It's Nemesia. And Nemesia is obviously an outdoor plant, often grown in window boxes. A lot of varieties have been grown in Wales, bred in Wales by the Penhow Nurseries. But this is performing amazingly as a houseplant. One thing it's not giving me is fragrance though. Usually Nemesia outside would have a rich vanilla fragrance, but indoors, I don't know if the plants heat up enough to release those oils to give that fragrance. But nevertheless, it is a beautiful mauve colour, which really blends well with the kind of maroon pink orchid that's next to it. And of course, all the foliage. Next up is a bit of a kind of boring plant, but it's good for structure because it's got a good shape. It's a Dracaena, just an upright Dracaena. I'm not even sure why I ordered that. It's kind of, yeah. Sorry, don't mean to be snobbish. Next is a polka dot begonia, which is a plant that fascinates me because my grandma used to grow this and it was desperately untrendy in those days. But now it's kind of probably one of the most popular begonias out there, thanks to Instagram. And then the last one on the windowsill is actually a bleeding heart plant, also known as Dicentra lapnocapnos is the brand new name. This has been inside for probably a week and a bit. It's another perennial that I should have outside, but I'm just enjoying it while it's kind of in its flowering moment. And it seems really happy. I mean, the geum doesn't seem too happy. It looks like it's like yellowing off at the base, but the Dicentra really seems to be happy with this sunny windowsill position. I wonder if it kind of thinks it's a bit crazy. I don't know. Obviously, with having more plants on the windowsill, there's a bit of more of a risk of fungus gnats. So I'm trying to keep things a little bit on the dry side. There's a couple of hangers, though, that I need to mention. We've got a Hoya carnosa, which is a plant that's usually grown on a hoop. But this is an upright one that I ordered from Pretty Cactus. I'm not sure I'm keeping it wet enough, though, because it's obviously hanging. So you can't have a saucer below it. So you tend to water those plants a lot less often. So I'm trying to dip it in the sink once a week or kind of when I remember. That's how often. Next, there's a plant that reminds me of my childhood. It is a Tradescantia. Oh my gosh. It takes me back to my grandma's lounge. It's just, oh, it's heavenly to have this plant here. It seems happy. It was delivered from Botanical Norwich. It's already in flower. So when a plant's in flower, it's kind of mega happy, and the flowers are really unique as well, actually. Yeah, I'll be posting a picture up of that as well. Extension to the windowsill, though, I've got plants surrounding the TV. So I've got a caladium to the side, some pretty little pink begonias, a cool grafted gymnocalycium cactus. Yeah, and then I've got this weird area by the sink, which is kind of like, almost like the leftovers. Like I mentioned that I've got orchids on the draining board. They need to find a home. I've got some weird plants just sitting on a shelf in a haphazard way. So that's not my showpiece area. Showpiece area is my windowsill. I am experimenting with a few edibles though, because herbs, you know, you buy these ones from the supermarket, but they're not always that easy to grow on. I prefer to grow, you know, basil, easy to grow annual herbs from seed. So I've actually got a few herbs growing. I've got a few salad leaves as well. They've been notoriously a bit slow. I don't know if I don't water them enough or what, but they're still only about an inch tall, but it will be nice to pick salad from the windowsill indoors, because it then proves that you don't need an outdoor garden to grow some of these salad crops. The herbs, I think they're struggling a bit. They seem to be getting a few flies, so I'm not sure growing herbs on a windowsill is as easy, or maybe it's because I'm not using the sunnier windowsill. That might be the problem. Obviously, yeah, they need to be as dry as possible, because too much moisture means you are going to get aphids and such. So highly experimental still. I've grown some tomatoes from seed. I'm hoping tomatoes, little dwarf ones, might be self-pollinating and able to be grown on the windowsill. I had wanted to grow strawberries, but I was wondering if they would pollinate themselves or not. So if you've got any tips on growing strawberries indoors, have you ever done it successfully, let me know. But of course, there's more ideas of what you could use for windowsill plants, but remember, it doesn't have to be long term. I think when you're using outdoor plants or a mixture of kind of cut flowers, you know, rooted cuttings in water, see it as a showpiece that you move around from time to time. You know, don't kind of think you're gonna have these plants looking good all through the year, because, you know, windowsills can change, you know, like a little kind of jigsaw garden. So think about bringing in some of those patio plants. So Nemesia, little dwarf fuchsias would work well. Begonias, Begonia salina is good for indoors or out. Even Maca Rouge is a nice one to look out for. Yeah, we mentioned fuchsias. Geraniums, I'm trying a geranium at the moment, but the buds keep drying off, so I'm not sure if that is happy enough indoors or not. But you do see a lot of geraniums being grown indoors, and kind of, you know, old ones that get a bit gangly, kind of almost a bit ugly. I kind of want that effect in my window, a big ugly geranium. obviously orchids enjoy bright indirect light, so if you've got a slightly more shady window, then that is where to grow your orchids. Obviously all sorts of different houseplants that you can grow, but also I like to mix them up with, you know, instead of having a full window of houseplants, maybe a couple of vases of cut flowers or kind of, you know, freshly foraged foliage, just to change it up a bit, you know? Yeah, a few air plants dangling down, a few hangers. I must admit, this windowsill has really come into its own by the fact that I've got hanging plants coming down as well as plants going up. So if you can kind of get some hanging plants there and fix them up easily, I would really recommend doing that to you guys. So anyway, that's a bit of a guide to my kind of indoor growing, a bit of inspiration for windowsills. I'm highly experimental, so if you guys have got any ideas or you can kind of help to advise me on some of the things that I've been trying and they haven't quite gone right, then please leave a comment, let me know. I want to hear all about your windowsill inspiration. So I'll hand you over to Ellen now, and she'll be looking at the outdoor areas. So that's balcony, window box, tiny space gardens. So enjoy.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg.
Hi everyone. So Michael's given us some great tips on indoor gardening. And since this is the inside outside episode of the podcast, I'll be giving you some tips on gardening in small spaces outside. You know, during this whole pandemic, it's meant isolation for so many people across the whole world. And, you know, gardening and nature has become the highlight, hasn't it, of our lockdown days? Because we need to connect with the natural world. And, you know, that's everything that I talk about. And I don't want anyone to feel restricted by the space that they have, because as Michael has shown, you can do loads of stuff inside. So even if you don't have an outdoor space. bet when you do have a small space outside, there's even more that you can do as well. So recently it has been so exciting to see how many people have started to enjoy their garden more, going out for walks more, going out to woodland and enjoying trees, growing their own food. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. But there are many people that don't have much space, so that's why Michael and I are putting this podcast episode all together so that you can get some ideas for indoor and outdoor gardening in small spaces. So at the moment, if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I'm in North Carolina. I'm in a lovely city called Charlotte, very green, it's very plant-based, which is great for me. I am very far away from my amazing Norfolk allotment that I miss so much. It is calling me, believe me. But the only space I have here at the moment is, of course, my balcony. It's pretty big as far as urban balconies go. So it's about 12 foot by 6 foot. And believe me, I have got plenty squeezed in. Not so much room for sitting now. There are more plants than there is space for chilling out. And we actually have a kind of low, like a coffee table, and it's too big. So my husband and I have agreed that the coffee table has to go so that we can have more plants and enough places to sit as well. So there's actually lots you can do with a little balcony. And I have grown in small spaces and in urban environments before. So I've had a really small space in London. Actually, it was near Canary Wharf, and also in Norfolk. So I had a number of balconies on a house that overlooked the river in Norwich in the city, and even in Spain. So when we lived in Spain, I had a little patio area there as well. And I actually really think that it is especially rewarding to bring a little bit of nature onto a balcony or into a small area. It's just incredibly satisfying. So here's a few tips for you what to do if you are growing on a balcony or in a small space. And also at the end, I'll mention window boxes as well. So I'll run through some tips and then I'll give you some combos as well, because I've seen and tried some really cool combinations of plants that work really, really well in different environments. So when it comes to gardening on a balcony or on a patio, or even if you want to put window boxes up, you need to think about your climatic conditions. So just like any garden, all balconies are completely different. So if you're facing south, you could have really hot sunshine. If you're in a city, you could be shaded by a nearby building. So you need to work out where the sun is going to be. So a really good, easy idea for doing that is to get a piece of paper, and you can do this even if you have a big garden, so the same applies. And you draw your balcony, patio space onto that piece of paper and leave it somewhere where every time you pass it, you can draw a line on that drawing of where the sun is, so you can see throughout the day where the sun moves across your garden or patio or balcony. It's really, really easy. And then you know what plants, what pots, and where to place them on your balcony. So that's one thing. Know your climatic conditions. Will it be really cold? Will it be windy? Because that's one thing that I've definitely learned here in Charlotte. I'm 6 floors up and it's either like a sun trap and really hot, or it's incredibly windy. And there's actually been a couple of times where I have had to move my pots indoors because we've had tornadoes coming through. And I know if you're listening to this in the UK, that's unlikely to happen, but you will still get the windy conditions. So think about where you're placing them, think about securing them down or tying them up or being able to lift them if you do need to move them in. So that's your climatic conditions. The other thing is like your container care. So there's loads of different types of containers that you can use. So there's terracotta, you know, there's metal containers, there's plastic containers, there's recycled stuff. I mean, there's just so many, and they all have different benefits and reasons why they don't work so well. So obviously terracotta can break quite easily. It's quite heavy, but don't they look lovely? And of course, plastic is actually really sturdy, but we need to make sure that we are reusing it all of the time. And then there's metal as well, which is, they can look pretty cool. I've actually got a milk crate. So, you know, like the old-fashioned milk crates that you used to have your milk delivered in. You can actually use those. And if you get some Hessian material and fill the crate with Hessian, you can then use the holes where the milk usually stands to actually grow your plants. So it's really, really good for things like tomatoes and aubergines and cucumbers and stuff. So that's a really cool way of recycling, like a container to put on your balcony. So container grown plants do dry out uber quickly, and here where I am, when it gets hot, so it's been like 90 degrees sometimes, I've actually had to water my containers twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. But probably in the UK once a day would be enough. Just keep a really good check and make sure you give them a thorough soak. I would say just the same as a garden. The best time to water would be early in the morning or late in the evening. One thing I have discovered here is if you're on a balcony, you need to make sure that anyone who has a balcony beneath you isn't getting covered in the water from when you're watering your containers. So maybe trays underneath your pots would be really useful. And of course, also you can put water in those trays for the containers to drink up via the roots as well. So watering is really important. And the plants will use up all the nutrients in the compost really, really quickly as they grow. Compost doesn't hold as many nutrients as the soil, of course, in the ground. So you will need to feed them probably once a week. I actually use a seaweed feed, but also there's slow release fertilizer that you can use as well. If you're in a particularly hot area, mulching the top of the pot is really good as well for moisture retention. You can use loads of things for that. So you can use like a nice mulch of any kind, but you can also use stones if you want to make it look really pretty. So all kinds of ways you can do that. So, you know, there's a lot to think about. I mentioned about the weight of them already, recycling, but they can look so good. Just make sure they're easy to move if you need to, easy to maintain them if you need to, but that's your containers. And the other thing I love doing on a balcony, the same with any garden, is just reusing, recycling and repurposing. Because I think when you recycle stuff, it kind of brings your whole character and personality into it. And us gardeners can be so resourceful. So it's been really good fun looking at items that I'm about to throw away and thinking, well, can I use those for my small space gardening? So I've been using food containers as seed trays, tin cans for herbs and seedlings, all kinds of things. So you can get really, really creative with that. The other thing to look out for are pests and diseases. So the house that I had in Norwich, where I said I had three balconies, the side of the house is where the balconies were and overlooked the river. But at the back of the house, we did actually have a little garden. And the garden was completely container grown. And it was all mainly tropical plants and plants for pollinators because it was an absolute sun trap. So I had banana plants, had coleus, had all kinds of different canna lilies, just all kinds of things going on, succulents, cacti, you name it, it was all there. And what happened was, sadly, I got vine weevil. It's like the gardener's nemesis, isn't it? Vine weevil, oh my gosh. And the one thing you do find with containers is pests move through those containers really, really quickly. So keep a check on your containers all of the time. Make sure they've got plenty of airflow all around and in between them. Make sure they're not under any stress, because of course that's when disease and pests tend to focus themselves on. So keep a check. Keep everything in really good condition. Prune out anything diseased or damaged and deadhead. So you're keeping them in really good condition so that if you do get any pests or diseases, the plant is more able to cope with it. Keep your eye out for red lily beetle if you have lilies, because I've always had red lily beetles. They can be really destructive as well. Thankfully, if you're on a balcony, you're probably unlikely to get so many slugs and snails. So I haven't seen any slugs and snails up on my balcony, six floors up here. So that's one thing that you don't have to contend with, hopefully, if you are balcony gardening at any kind of height. So the other thing I would say is to absolutely break the rules. And I always say this about any kind of gardening. So we will read so many books, there's so much theory out there. Many things will say, don't plant this in a container, or this doesn't grow in a window box, or this won't grow in a small space, and all of that. And that theory is there for a reason, because it's been tried and tested. But sometimes things don't always go according to the book. So break the rules. If you love a particular plant, then give it a go on your balcony. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You've learned, you know, and try something else. Gardening is all about trial and error. I'm constantly still, even now, trying new things out that don't work, but the theory says they don't work. I've given it a go anyway and it hasn't worked. But then sometimes I've found something that's worked amazingly well. So, you know, be brave and just give it a go. Your balcony or your small space can be your place to try new things and to experiment. You know, it's your balcony garden, so you can stamp your own personality on it. And don't forget vertical space. That's really, really important. So on a balcony, you know, if you want to maximise your growing space, you can think about baskets, of course, vertical planting. So you have like the planting walls, green walls, that kind of thing. Using the balcony rails for hanging pots and containers. Just remember to always check your weight restriction of your balcony, because obviously if you overload it, then you could be into some problems. But generally it should be okay, but just double check your weight restriction to be sure. So yeah, vertical gardening, basically use every single bit of space that you possibly can, like I do. So on my balcony, I decided I'm going to have a mixture of pollinating plants and also some edibles, because I love growing my own food, and without my balcony, I really want to get some stuff, fresh plant-based stuff here on the balcony. So I've got a veggie pod, and that's full of spinach, rocket, lettuce leaves, radish, beetroot, kale, tomatoes. I can't remember, but it's full of edibles. And I've got a big pot with climbing beans. I've got some squash plants. I've got sunflowers growing, I've got some lilies growing, I've got a rose, I've got a star jasmine, all kinds of things. So it's a mishmash of my favourite plants that may or may not grow there, but they're all doing all right so far, and edibles, and some plants for pollinators, because obviously there may not be so many pollinators that come high up. So you want to try and attract as many as you can. And if you aren't getting any pollinators and you want to grow edibles, then you might need to just learn the trick of hand pollination. But we'll leave that one for another day. It's really good fun, by the way. So I've got some planting suggestions for you. So I've got some vegetable plants that are really good to grow on a balcony. So the lettuce outrageous, that actually was grown in space. So if that's grown in space on the moon, then it's most definitely going to grow on your balcony. And it's actually really delicious, and it looks fabulous as well. So if you want to grow some beans like I am, runner bean Hestia is really good because it's dwarf growing. Really tasty as well. There's a squash 8-ball AGM. It's a round green and it's really, really easy to harvest. And kale's super easy as well. So kale just about grows everywhere, and I've got that in abundance. There's actually loads that you could grow. So if you're looking at perennial plants, then as I said before, I've got a star jasmine. It's great for screening. The fragrance is just beautiful, so you can sit on your balcony high up and still get all of the lovely fragrance that plants provide. Lavender, of course, is great. It's great for pollinators. It's great again for fragrance. There's a Verbena bonariensis, which is called Lollipop, and it's just not as tall as the verbenas that you might see out in the gardens, which makes it great for growing in a pot. Heucheras, of course, like a shady balcony, has citronelle has a lovely vibrant colour, but actually if you plant that with one of the darker foliage heucheras, then that can look absolutely stunning. And don't forget fuchsias. Now, I've got to be honest, I was never a fan of them until I started growing on a balcony, and actually they perform brilliantly in containers and in window boxes. So don't forget the little ballerina flowers of the fuchsia. So here's a few combos for you that I've seen. Some of them are a little bit different. and I hope you really love them, but I've seen either the odd photograph, but most of these I've actually seen for real or I've tried myself. So you can grow hydrangeas in containers, so why not grow hydrangeas in a window box? They look absolutely stunning. So you can grow hydrangeas with ivies and ferns in a window box. Looks beautiful, especially in urban environments. So you could even just have hydrangeas and they will look fantastic. Another combo for a window box is the bacopa, which looks great in a basket or a window box, and I think it looks better than it does in the garden in a bed. And the great thing about it is it like never ever ever wilts, so it's a really easy one to grow in a window box. There's one called Cabana Trailing Blue. It's a lovely colour. If you just put a few into a window box or a hanging basket, you'll have like cascades of flowers for months and months. If you've got a really sunny spot, don't forget a cool box full of succulents, because that will look awesome. They look really funky. If you have a shady window ledge, I've done this really gorgeous combination of annuals and perennials actually on my balcony in Norwich. And it included, so one window box, like standard size window box, I had two dark leaf heucheras. I cannot remember the variety, but lovely dark leaf, kind of like, you know, the purple maroony ones. I had a couple of lobelia plants, so the nice bright blue trailing lobelias. I had a couple of bright red geraniums because they really stand out against the blue and the dark foliage of the heuchera. And then also some ivy. And it looked so lovely. I think something with a bit of height added in the back probably would have made it even more spectacular. Maybe a grass or something. I'm not sure. I'll leave that one to you. But that was a really nice pot. So there's loads of options. Don't be restricted by your space, because it can be so enjoyable to make something of what you've got. And not only will it keep you happy, but it'll keep wildlife happy and also your neighbours.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Naturally rich in nitrogen, potash, phosphate, and other trace elements that plants and vegetables love, it is approved by the Soil Association, Vegan Society, and Organic Farmers and Growers. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Thanks for listening. You should now be at least 25% more obsessed by plants.
Please follow us on social media. You'll find us by typing in the Plant-Based Podcast.
We also have a fabulous website. Go to theplantbasedpodcast.net.
So tell your friends, leave a review. Why not write a letter to your local MP? Please spread the word about the Plant-Based Podcast.
Oh yes, see you next time, plant friends. The theme music for the Plant-Based Podcast is an excerpt from the song Grow by Mikey James. And our editing is done by Gareth Patch of Semi-Echo.